We do it for Him, right? Now, I'm thankful that people want to serve the Lord. I'm thankful for my dear wife. She took a $100 bill out of her own personal money and she bought these flowers. Now, I thank the Lord for that because I didn't tell her to do it. But you know, also Christine Mead, she put it all together. Amen. And I believe it's for a worthy cause because the Lord's house should look the best. Amen. Amen. And we should do our best for the Lord. And I'm not bragging so much on her. I want to praise the Lord that she had a heart to do that. When you preach, sometimes you preach and seemingly speaking, you hit a home run. And there's other times that you strike out. I think you strike out more than you hit home runs. That's the way it was with Babe Ruth. But you know, anytime we preach or teach or lead somebody to the Lord, we ought to give God all the glory, right? Because He just uses us and blesses us. So I think we need to look at it that way. When Harold Seitler used to preach, he said, "I always preach for God's glory. If somebody comes to the altar, praise the Lord. If somebody gets saved, praise the Lord. If nobody comes to the altar, I'm going to keep on preaching for God's glory." Amen. And keep on serving for God's glory. But it's all to the praise of His glory. Now let's go on down to the next verse in Ephesians chapter 1. In whom we have what? Redemption. Let's say that again. In whom we have? Redemption through His blood. So He's the one that purchases us. He's the one that buys us back. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I love those verses. I love verse 6, the latter part. We were in a class this morning with Denise and Gary and also a friend of hers. Doreen, is that her name? Praise the Lord. She was here taking it in today. And pray for Doreen. She needs to find the Lord as her Savior. But one of the questions they had was about salvation and being accepted. I love this verse in verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us, what? Accepted in the Beloved. And once you get saved, you're in the family and He's not going to kick you out. It's once and for all. Jesus died on the cross. So really, that's, we see this beautiful picture of redemption in Hosea chapter 3. Now go back to chapter 3. We'll read the first three verses and say a few things. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. And by the way, don't look down your proud nose at the sins of others. We need to check our own heart. Amen. Check our own heart. According to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel. He loved Israel. And He wanted first place in their lives. And if God's not first place in your life, that's what He desires. He wants your attention. And we'll see that over in the book of Exodus when God commanded all of us to put Him first and not to have other gods before us. And the Bible says He's a jealous God. But it says here, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons, these bottles of wine. And so this little god, this little g, and we talked last time about who they were worshiping. They were worshiping Baal. And there's so many of these little gods under Baal. So many names, but I thought we had those idols, those false gods come into the house of God today. Because we had these little flies in here. And one of the names for Baal worshipers was Baal-zebub. And Jesus called Satan Baal-zebub. And that means the Lord of the flies. And boy, they were in here. They were after us. You know, just a couple times of the year, those native Arizonians, we don't have to put up with flies much because they burn out in the summer, don't they? And the winter, I guess they freeze out. But just kind of in between those times, they were coming after us. I saw several of you swatting and trying to get rid of those flies today. So ushers, please keep that door shut as much as you can. Keep the flies out. Let the people in and keep the devil out. Amen. So anyway, there's so many of these gods, Baal gods. And, you know, you say, I don't worship Baal. I don't give my children to Moloch, these false gods, or worship all of these. But yet, if we're not careful, we do give more attention to some of these areas in our life, whatever it may be. And it can be something that takes away from our prayer time. You realize tonight, folks, that God wants first place. He wants our time. He doesn't want to contend with all of these other things that are in our lives. Sometimes we're just too busy to give God first place in our life. And He desires that. He wants that time, that personal time with Him and Him alone. So if we're not careful, these false gods can come in. So I thought her to me, for 15 verses 2, 15 pieces of silver and for an omer of barley, because he wanted his wife back and he wanted her to himself. And he says, and for an omer of barley and a half omer of barley, and I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So I will also be for thee. So hold your place there and go to Exodus chapter 20, if you will. And you'll see what God has to say about these gods, these false gods. By the way, they can't help you. They won't be there when you really need help, these false gods. And in chapter 20, Exodus, in verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a what?
Jealous
God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy. Aren't you glad for that? That mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. It's still in there, folks, how we need to give God first place. He's the only true and wise God. Now back in Hosea, we'll look at verse 4 and 5. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod. Do you remember what the ephod was? It was a vest, sometimes made of linen, and it had stones on there, precious stones. The Urim and Thummim is sometimes a way that they would find out God's will for their life. But it had also the 12 tribes on there. And this vest was a blessing to those people in that day. But he said right here that you're not going to have this. And without an ephod and without a teraphim. A teraphim is an image. It's a household deity, an image. And you say, well, we don't have any statues and deities and images in our house. But there's a lot of people that do. You ever learned about the Roman Catholic religion and such? And they have these little statues. They have little statues in their car to protect them. I knew of a Roman Catholic man. He prayed to this statue. Which one is it that protects you when you travel? Does anybody know? Christopher? But I knew of a guy that worshipped, had this image, and prayed to the statue of Christopher. And then he had a massive wreck. And he said, get rid of that thing. It don't work. That was it for him. You need to place your faith in the only true and wise God, right? But these ephods and teraphims, they didn't have them. Verse 5, afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord. That's what God wants for us to do. He wants us to seek Him with all of our heart and to cleave unto Him with all of our heart. The Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days. I love the story. Hold your place here. I love the story of Elijah. Go to 1 Kings chapter 18. You remember when he was after these prophets of Baal, and it was a famine, and they needed rain, and he prayed, and it didn't rain, and there was a contest between the only true and wise God and all of their gods of Baal. And in 1 Kings 18, they had the sacrifices and everything, but the Lord really showed up in this chapter. I want you to see it. I'll pick it up in verse 26. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice. You know why? Because a false god and an idol, they can't do anything, can they? And nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar. You can just see them out there, which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey." He's on vacation, I guess. Your God's on vacation. And peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud. Oh, Elijah was, boy, he was getting with it here. And he was looking to God what the real God would do. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner and with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. There was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. See, the gods of our life, they can't, these little gods that take the place of God, these things that come in and they become so precious to many of us. Hey, friends, they can't help us a bit. They can't hear. And Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me." And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." By the way, don't ever fight against Israel, folks. I'll just give you a little advice. You'll never win when you fight against Israel. Stand up for Israel. Pray for them. That's God's chosen people. And it's still in there in Genesis chapter 12. I tell you what, he loves his children. He loves those that love. Now, which verse do we pick up here? 32. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, "Fill 4 barrels with water." Now remember, there was a famine and he was praying for rain. It was bad. They put all this water in there and he said, four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Verse 34. And he said, "Do it the second time." And they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time, and the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word, obeying the Lord. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast returned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, he is thy God. The Lord, he is thy God." That's what we need to remember tonight. All these little gods can't do anything, can they? But we have a God that can not only burn up the water. I mean, we had a hard time getting that little note to burn, and it was paper. But you know what? They had water. a lot of water on it, and the stones, and it even burnt the stones. That's the kind of God we have, and He can provide and He can help in that situation. Go back to Hosea chapter 3. Anytime we serve these other gods, it's without fail, it'll not end well. Afterward, verse 5, shall the children of Israel turn and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days. So God wants us for Himself alone. So when you're into prayer time, think about that. What are the distractions that maybe come when you try to pray, when you try to do something for God, you try to win a soul to the Lord? We were talking to a person tonight, and things have been going well. They've been growing in grace. They've been getting in their Bible more. And just really, the Lord's working in their heart. And then had a loved one pass away just before church tonight. And the devil put the thought in this person's life, well, maybe I shouldn't go to church tonight. But you know what? They came on to church anyway. Amen. They pressed on. They chose to put God first. And so, you know what? God's going to bless that spirit and that attitude, because she was thankful that the Lord has redeemed her. And this person that died, praise the Lord, they're in heaven. No more pain. No more tears. And although there are tears down here, guess what? Tears are a language God understands. Amen. And God sees each tear that falls, and He knows them. So, and He puts them in a bottle, the Bible says. So God wants us for Himself alone. We need to fear the Lord. And you know, we need to thank Him for His grace. That was in the Sunday school lesson this morning. We need to be more thankful of a Christian. And so maybe you're not thanking God like you should. Maybe I don't remember to thank Him as much for the little things, for your lunch. I don't know if anybody skipped lunch unless they did it on purpose. But you know what? God provides our meals. God provides our clothing. God provides air conditioning for most of us. Right now you can open your screen door. Amen. And get the cool air. But God provides. He just provides. He's a God that provides for His children. And He redeems us by His blood. False gods can never help. But we need to be thankful for His redemption. Remember when you got saved? What did He do? He bought you. He redeemed you. He forgave all of your sin. And you're still forgiven. Amen. For as long as you live on this earth, you're forgiven. And lest we forget that redemption day. I love that old song, He Ransomed Me. Hallelujah, the Lord did that. And so I want to keep Him in the forefront. I want to keep Him on His throne in my heart and on my life. People say, well, I don't believe this book. I don't believe everything in this Bible, because He's not on the throne room. He's not on the throne in your heart. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you're not thankful for your salvation and you don't believe this book, friends, there's a heart problem, isn't there? And a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I hope you'll be challenged with some of those things tonight. Remember that He loves you. And He bought you back, even though you're a sinner. He still loves you. And He'll keep on forgiving you, by the way. He never stops loving you. When you get saved, you get into the family of God. When you were born from your mother, you were born once. And you failed your parents many times, no doubt. You've sinned, come short of the glory of God, so have I. But I'm thankful my mom and dad didn't kick me out. They didn't disown me. Now, in some of the Jewish religion, they actually, if you get converted, they will disown you and have your own funeral. It's bad. They kick you out of the house. But I'm thankful my mom and dad never kicked me out. Some of you may have got kicked out. But I'll tell you a better story. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll not kick you out, because He loves you so much. Now, there's consequences to our sin. When we sin, there are consequences. But you're still saved. Amen? You're still saved. People tell me things. Well, I did this, I did that. But it's under the blood. I don't care about all of that. You're forgiven if you've been redeemed. You know, and here, this man in Hosea, he forgave his wife and he went on. So I'm thankful that we have forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. Are you redeemed tonight? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.